Welcome to the City Life Podcast. This podcast is here as a resource to journey together, connecting where you can, whenever you can, in your everyday. Enjoy listening, be encouraged to share, be inspired, and be blessed as you do so.
Hi everyone, it's great to be with you this month as we come to the end of our series looking at living Jesus-centered lives. Now Bev considered prayer and Dan last month spoke on work, and I'm looking at creating space and living from rest. Now God has been speaking to me personally about this for some time, so I feel really passionate about it. I want to share some of my personal journey today and some of my grapples with creating space and living from rest. I know we're all coming from different places on this, and it's an area that many of us find challenging. But I do want to start by saying I'm no expert in this area, but I really do hope that some of these thoughts may encourage you. Dan shared last month that work and rest shouldn't be considered in isolation. There's a healthy rhythm for us to find. And in the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2, God created for 6 days, then rested. The creator of the universe, who never gets tired, rested. Rest is important, therefore, because God says so, and he did it. He commissioned Adam and Eve to work in the garden, but their first day was one of rest. And this shows us that we are children. We're not slaves. We weren't designed to work 24/7, always being busy, busy, busy. And Sabbath, the Hebrew word meaning day of rest, starts the working week. It doesn't end it, as we can so often think. We were made to live and to work from rest, not the other way round. Now, our culture actively promotes productivity and achievement, getting things done. So to stop and rest, Ruth Haley Barton says, is an act of resistance against a culture that brainwashes us into thinking that good things come only through unceasing determination, tireless human effort, and always being plugged in. That's from her book, Embracing Rhythms of Work and Rest. This is a great book on the topic, if you're interested. So rest isn't a nice idea for those of us who maybe have the time or the inclination. God created us to live from rest, and it's resistance against that internal drivenness, that self-determination, that individualism that the prevailing culture has planted and cultivates in us. But God's heart for each of us is life to the full. It says, doesn't it, in John 10, verse 10, and I'm remembering it from the Passion Translation, it speaks of an overflowing life, full of him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I want. Not a life wrung out by the toils and the strains, leaving us weary, overburdened with demands and responsibilities. Now, some time ago, I was feeling this way. Overwhelmed by all that there was to do. And I read a book called Unfettered by Mandy Smith. And she talked about how her life had been saying, it's all on me. And I resonated completely with this, aware of my striving and my drivenness to achieve and to do well, and essentially just a lot of self-effort. Now, she emphasised that it's a habit of rest which helps us rest from our own striving towards deity. Sobering, I've really needed to hear this. Because our Western culture tempts us to be God, trying to fix problems, understand situations, control outcomes. If we're honest, we'd rather be given action steps than be asked to rely on God. So if we aren't resting regularly, I want to suggest it highlights that we're a slave to this way of thinking and living. When I spoke to God for myself about feeling it's all on me, and I had such a sense of frustration with myself too, I sensed him whisper gently, "I'm not a slave driver, but you are." These words touched me deeply. It was expectations of myself that were the problem. He wasn't giving me a heavy burden or placing me under pressure with a heavy task list. I was. I wrote in my journal God's words to me that day. "I'm inviting you to rest regularly, to stop and be, and allow yourself to be refreshed and replenished each week. I know your heart longs for this. Take small steps. It will be easier than you think. Give me your responsibilities. Let me carry them. I am your God. Accept your limitations." So God has given us all the gift of rest to remind us of his deliverance from a life of slavery and toil. We're free sons and daughters. And his promise, it clearly in Hebrews 4 verse 3, is that for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. So as believers, confident rest is for us to experience and to live in. This is such an important revelation, and I encourage you to reflect on Hebrews 4. And there's a really fantastic talk by Damon Thompson called Under the Oaks that I'll share a link for too, if it's helpful. So in spiritual rest, we find peace of mind and security. It's because of Jesus' death on the cross and our adoption into God's family that we no longer need to live trying harder all the time to earn our acceptance, proving ourselves worthy or good enough. Jesus has secured God's full acceptance, and we are his beloved sons and daughters. This revelation of knowing our belovedness or beloved identity is what gives us security, and it's what gives us rest. It's such good news. And I'm finding this is just so transforming. I've been taking small steps towards living this out, starting with prioritising rest and Sabbath in order to redress the balance. And I've been looking at some of the other ancient spiritual practices like silence, solitude, which also help to create that space with God. Now, I know there are other individuals and families in our City Life family who've been learning how to prioritise rest. And I really want to commend them in this because it's not easy. But what I'm experiencing is the blessings far outweigh the challenges. So I'd love us to share our journeys of rest with each other because there's so much wisdom to be gained from our community. And after all, it's a spiritual practice, meaning it's a practice. It's something we've got to keep practicing to get better at. And also, there's no condemnation or one-size-fits-all approach to this. So let's hear from the Rowlands on their journey with rest. They've got a recipe for rest to share that I'd love to hear.
But adults, we sometimes forget how to rest, and we had to remember how to rest like we did when we were children. And so we've written a recipe of how we learnt to rest. Step one was taking away, subtracting. We took away work, we took away house jobs, we took away homework. We took away things we should do, things we ought to do. We took away buying things. And for a while, that was all that Sabbath was. It was more about the things it wasn't. And then we started to add things into that empty space. And we found that the things that got naturally added in were lovely meal times, fun and games, and remembering how to play again for the adults, that is. We added in times of prayer and reading the Bible and listening to God. And for a while, that was all that Sabbath was. Because there was a time when we couldn't see other people because of the pandemic. And then after the pandemic, we began to divide up our rest. So we'd always shared it between our family, but now we can share it with other people. We can share meals, we can share walks in nature, we can share fun and games, and we can share times when we give thanks to God together, and times when we share our sorrows, and times when we pray together. So the third step is sharing and dividing. And then step four is multiplying. And we don't have to do that step, because what we've discovered is that when we give God our time, and when we give God our trust, and when we give him space in our lives, he multiplies back to us more than what we've let go. And what he multiplies back into our lives is inspiration and creativity. He multiplies back those jobs and tasks that we struggled to stop doing. We see little miracles. We remember what's important, not just what's urgent. And we feel blessed by that process. And so we'd like to finish with a question. And our question is there a step that God is inviting you to take? Is there a step towards finding rest and remembering rest? It's not about the day or the time or the length of time. It's more about what God is doing in our hearts.
Thank you to Rosie and the family for sharing. And that's a great, great question there, isn't it? What step is God inviting us to take towards rest? I'd love us to consider that in our families, in groups as well. Over the summer, I had a retreat day to create space to be with God. Fran and the Pitts had recommended Waverley Abbey near Guildford, where you can book a shepherd's hut to pray. Now, I went on one of the hottest days of the year and I walked the beautiful grounds and felt God's presence there in the sunshine and in the beauty of creation. And I just kept noticing butterflies, so many and all different varieties. And as I was admiring their beautiful wings and their flight, I sensed God whisper that just like the butterflies were beautiful and free, so was I. His kind words brought me peace. I felt outrageously loved. Why share this personal encounter? Because the rest that our souls crave is to receive this love, this affirmation from him as that we are his precious sons and daughters. And this is where our hearts are healed, they're restored and realigned. Our worth not coming from anything we're doing or anything else other than us being completely loved. So I want to highly recommend booking some regular time to go somewhere to draw aside from the distractions and the busyness of life. Damon Thompson puts it like this. Rest invites us to abandon every inferior pursuit in order to fully give our hearts to this face-to-face lifestyle. Beloved identity is the generator of all authentic rest. Having faith in his love for us changes our lives such that we enter into rest. I love that. I want to give myself fully to pursuing God's presence and discovering more of my beloved identity through learning how to rest. But how do we do it? How do we rest in God? It's going to look different for each of us. Essentially, it's finding the ways that enable us to quiet ourselves and be present with our loving Father. Pausing in a favourite chair, reading the Bible, walking in creation, enjoying a piece of art, poetry, journaling, spending time in solitude or silence, soaking or singing to worship music. These are just a few ways, not exclusively all of them. And some of these we can do together with others. I really recommend listening to John Mark Comer's Practicing the Way podcast on spiritual practices and a rule of life. They've covered silence and solitude recently, and I found them so challenging, but also really insightful and helpful. There are several City Life groups meeting solely for worship, either through singing or soaking in God's presence. And this is just a great way to rest, isn't it? And be with God. As we worship, as we lift him up over our lives and our circumstances, we're reminded of who he is, but we're also reminded of who we are. This brings such refreshment and life to us. So I really encourage you, if you're interested in joining a group, let us know, or maybe you want to form one. Now I realise I'm speaking as somebody who doesn't have the day-to-day demands of children, so I appreciate it may seem easier for me. Be that as it may, I'm still having to be really intentional and prioritise time with God and for rest. I've decided to stop or reduce doing some of the things that fill my time, especially when I'm tired, like scrolling on my phone or binging TV, Netflix. I'm trialling at the moment, ask me in a few weeks if it's working, not taking my phone to bed. So it's not the first and the last thing that I'm seeing morning and night. I've had to figure out another alarm clock, all in hand. But I want my time with Jesus in those spaces not to be crowded out by other things. So I want to make absolutely clear that God is not placing another demand on us that we can't manage. Rather, he's offering to fulfill us. My devotional the other day summarised God's invitation to us really beautifully, so I just want to read that. Find your fulfillment in me, in the reality of a life saturated with the knowledge of my love, in the reality of holy union. Let our relationship make you feel complete. Relish the truth that I see you, I know you, and I appreciate every move you make that reflects my goodness, faithfulness, compassion, and joy. What you will experience with me is far greater than the temporary gratifications of fame, fortune, or dreams coming true. I want you to be happy on the deepest level. I love satisfying the desires of your heart and giving good gifts to my children. But there is indescribable contentment and unspeakable joy that can only be found in my presence. Let me be your desire, more than anything else. In the secret place of my love, when no one else is around, you will experience the substance of profound fulfillment. It is a living force that you cannot obtain through any other avenue. Start with me. Be consumed with me. No matter what else I bless you with, none of it will compare to me. Felt so impacted by those words, and I feel that is God's invitation to us as City Life. Now, on our present City Life journey, God has spoken about restoring us, hasn't he, to first love, so our passion for him increases and overflows to those that don't yet know him. So practicing rest helps us to recover this and experience more of God's love. This is the adventure that we were born for. I want to finish by praying for us, and then I've asked Mel to share one of her poems as well to close on rest. Father, would you take us deeper into experiencing your love? Transform our hearts. We want our desire to be found in you. We want to be fulfilled by your presence. Teach us how to rest. And everybody said, Amen. Over to Mel with a poem on rest. Thanks, Mel.
Hi, everyone. So this is my poem called Rest. What gives you rest when your levels are low? I ask because I'm curious to know. Do you find rest in the same way as me? Or are we designed a bit differently? Does rest find you with speed and ease? Do you enter into it whenever you please? Or does it take all your discipline to chase it down and rein it in? Do you find rest in motion? Is that the key? In fresh air, in exercise, or water maybe? Or does it arrive slowly, in a steadier flow, in quiet stillness, where it has space to grow? I ask because I want to encourage you to help you find rhythms of rest anew. Because rest is so much more than the absence of rush. It is a gift to mind, body and soul, a sacred hush. And however it is found, whatever form the rest takes, the response deep in our being will be of the same make. And while I can't promise that you'll always find rest, I can promise that when you do, there he'll be waiting for you.